Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah, the drum. Kate picks you up on the chairs.
Good evening, and
That's for all around the world, or good morning. Some places right now, it's already morning. So I want to thank everybody that's tuned in to us. And blessings to all of you on your health. Health is really important, especially for a lot of us, you know. We're getting up there in age, and even you young people out there, they got all kinds of flus, and anything can go wrong. You got to be careful. And she right now looked outside, and it's snowing out there. It was raining earlier, wind blowing. I mean, we've been having some mean, windy times this year. And wake up, happy your roof's still on, you know, and go outside and see what's laying around out there, you know, stuff comes blowing, see mattresses flying past, caught on barbed wire fence, swimming pools, trampolines, all kinds of stuff flying around. You have to, you know, tie everything down when it's like this, including your t-shirt, you know. Went outside, had a t-shirt on, next thing I was doing a ballet show, you know. Really out there flashing, you know, like that Marilyn Monroe photo where she walks over this fan and her dress blows up. Me as my t-shirt, so flashing some belly, you know. And you know, well, what can I say, you know? Got a sexy belly.
Here we go again.
A sexy Indian belly. Yeah. with a mean old belly button way off in there someplace.
That's a broda.
Yeah.
His pants,
I think some people put some. Hey, Tarsi, some people put earrings in their belly button. You know.
Oh yeah.
First, I'd have to find that belly button. It's in there somewhere.
You gotta lift it way up just to find it.
Yeah. got a probe in there, you know.
Reaching around,
you know?
That's only you can see it.
Yeah, no way I could put an earring in there and try to look sexy, you know. I could probably hang a car chain out of there.
Yeah,
you know. But anyway, you know, just some things want to talk about, you know, basic things going on in Indian country, you know, and we'll get to that right now. We'll let Bimber take us, say a prayer for us and give us some word.
Oh,
go ahead. Why not? Wow.
Well, I'm gonna say a prayer and then we get started here. But pray for everybody. Well, Tunkashla Tel, Kankaka, Ompetua. See, not no energy punk, Tunkashla, Chasunshi Kahunshap. Chakay Chosan. Won't she lunichi lana Tunkashla, took steaks tell me talk to Oyong, the new Hila Tunkashla. Best I took a recharge, you know, we chose on me. On the ugly change the Tunkashla, Yotel Ale Hampi, da cuckoo, yeah. Kakish of such a truncation, no kinds of lagalinish, no akich and fetched, and not truncatula. Wokicha in a truncatula, we chose on me, aglitch acted. Not extremely chashapunko yohila truncatula. Extracted Lunkoyan, Otaki Lina, truncatula, won't she on Juki Hona, chose on me. Wash the glenage at truncatula. Aglimiope. Not trucata get truncatula, we chose on it. Wolak hotak, the average chapelolista.
Oh, Watch that. I was gonna say I'll let Tashi take us away. You know, remember in the Bible they say, "Take us and give us and cup us, run us over and all that." I always wonder about those words. You know, those words in the Bible, because I thought they said that the Bible was written in another language. Everybody says it was written in another language. So if it was written in another language and they interpret it, I know they wasn't saying cup us, run us over in that other language, you know. So
you know that the Bible's been interpreted so many different times over years. At this time and point, like I say, look at the, you know, people talk about banning these books, whatever, critical race theory or whatever they want to call it. Shit, I don't even know what the hell that is, but, you know, and then all this hatred on different races and stuff. You know, the Bible, if you really read the Bible, shit, there's a lot of hatred in there, too. You know, and there's a lot of sexual innuendo in there. And if that's what they want to teach, if that's what they want to teach in these classrooms, shit, the Bible is just as nasty as Playboy, you know? But yet, these Christians, so-called Christians, you know, they honor a book that's got a lot of perversion in it. And they want to teach that? You know, it's not right. You know, their Bible doesn't belong anywhere, you know? And I grew up in a Catholic school, you know. They beat the shit out of us. They tortured us. You know, there was all kinds of things they did to us, you know, and these boarding schools. Yeah. And this, when they talk about Christianity, I don't like it. I hate it because they try to beat our own language out of us. I mean, literally beat us when we spoke our language. They punished us, put us in dark rooms, closets, did all kinds of stuff to us to keep us from speaking our language. You know, and this is what this is how they treated us. And then they said, oh, the Bible says this, you know, or that this, you know, if it says that, you know, where the hell was Jesus Christ when they were beating the shit out of me? You know, he wasn't there, you know. Talk about getting saved.
That's where the Indian learned how to say,
There were some cruel people, and they used Christianity. Well, you know what I mean?
There are some cruel stories in the Bible, you know, if you read it. You know, like what Moses did to people, you know, murdering kids and everything. You know, I don't know the whole story on it, but, you know, to people that don't obey or didn't do stuff or didn't jump or something, they're murdering people, you know, starving them and everything. There's a lot of violence in the Bible, you know.
A lot of perversion, a lot of violence, a lot of, you know, I mean, to me, is that what they want in these schools, you know, and It's crazy how they talk about one thing which hardly anybody knows about it, is critical race theory. All that is they want people to forget what the Washitu did to all these different races. That's what it is, you know. It's not the truth. And they claim the Bible is the truth, man. That Bible is wicked, you know.
Well, you look at their beginning creation story, how it starts out, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, running around Hachola, and then there's a snake, you know, and the poisonous fruit. That's wicked right there. You know, if you're going to tell a creation story, was creation that wicked? Hell no, not in our books, you know.
No, not
creation
not
was a beautiful thing. Creation was a beautiful thing, you know. That was a miracle. God gave life. That was a miracle, you know.
Yeah.
There was nothing wicked or evil about it. You know, they talk about the poisonous fruit, and then they throw smut on the woman right away. She ate the fruit, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we can go on and on and on about, yeah, we can go on and on and on about all that stuff. But, you know, that's why I don't believe in there was ever a Moses. I have trouble believing there was ever a Jesus Christ. Because, because, you know, 20, 30, 50,000 years ago, Tanshi, all mankind was closer to God back in them days because they lived with Wakantanka. You know, they lived this way,
every day,
the way he created, you know, 20, 30.
Yeah.
That's why I traveled around the world and I seen drums made way over in Russia, Slovenia, you know, even down in Africa, look at, they make drums and a lot of these drums are put together, you know? So that's how come I know in the beginning of time, God gave us all a drum. He gave us all a way of life. He gave us art, you know. He did things for humanity. He did this for mankind. But certain groups of people went off on the, started going on the deep end. Probably those ones that with the serpents and the apples, poisonous apples or whatever. Probably that crew, you know. But the rest of the people, all people that are have culture and tradition and are indigenous, even today, they still have a connection with God. They still hear spirits. They still communicate with spirits. But after 50,000 years, 100,000 years of that certain group, they lost the connection to God. They lost, they can't hear him no more. They can't see him. So they got to read a Bible. And they need a Ten Commandments to tell them right from wrong. They made up all these people, you know, Moses and even Jesus Christ, you know. They made them up. I don't believe there ever was none of them. But I do believe that there's some truth behind everything. So a lot of the people or the subjects and people that are in the Bible, probably maybe it wasn't Jesus Christ, but they might have had a spiritual leader. They might have had Moses, you know. They might have had some things there, but none of these people were any greater than even our medicine men for the last, since the beginning of time. We had powerful people. We still have powerful people, you know. We're losing it, but we still have power in our culture. And these people lost it, so that's why they don't believe nothing. They call us devil worshipers.
You know, Tanshi, the greatest man ever given to white man, if it was Jesus Christ, they killed it, see? We never did do that.
Yeah.
We still have our medicine men who do the same thing Jesus Christ did, you know? And no one man could do it alone.
That's
why we had a lot of them, see?
They flaunt that cross.
Yeah.
They flaunt that cross with him hanging on it, swords on his head. How vicious is that? And kids wear them. You know, the rosary is made of it. All of this stuff, they dress in black, you know. This sounds, you know, like Christian bashing, you know, and maybe it is, you know, but
you know,
I tell you what,
these Washitus, they believe in Jesus and all these guys, like you were saying, Moses and those kind of people. But there's only one bad guy. What is his name? Judas or whatever his name was. But if you look at it, all these priests or these so-called priests or whatever they want, you want to call them. Shit, to me, they're all Judases, you know? They all say, oh, I'm like Moses, all this. That's a bunch of crap. They're all just like Judas, you know? They sell their grandma in a flash, you know? That's the category those guys belong in. And then in the Bible there, when they talk about these guys, there's only one bad guy, and that's Judas. All these washichus follow that guy, you know? That's why I look at it, because in these other guys, I mean, if they were spiritual people, they wouldn't live like these washichus, you know, lived. So to me, they're all Judases. You know, the Roman Empire, whatever they want to call it. And like and this Jesus that they talk about, they say he's from the Middle East. What kind of people are in the Middle East? There's no washichus there, you know? But they want people to believe that the Bible belongs to this shit. They even stole that, you know? So you talk about Judases. All these washichus to this day are Judases. They lie using the
book. Well, that's why.
Sacred.
That's why I mentioned, you know, how they changed the words, you know, taketh, giveth.
Yeah.
You know, how they put is at the end, you know, their language. And where did that language come out of? Why is the Bible written like that? If it was written in another language, no other language has these kind of words, you know? You interpret our language, you know, our words in English, when you hear like give or something, we ain't saying give us, you know, or
yeah.
Take us, you know, or any language. I don't care what culture. Turn it over to English and they ain't saying take us and give us and cup us, run us over, you know, and all that. You know, so that language there, that language there, where the hell did it come from? You know,
they bastard.
They made this up to sound, to sell, you know, for propaganda, for promotional reasons, to make something sound. You know, that's what they do when they write a book about somebody, you know. If they wrote a book about you, Tahashi, they'd probably have you looking like the Hulk, you know. Man, he was a big, brutal man, you know. He had a long, lustrous growth. If they wrote a book about you, you know, I mean, I'm not saying you're not built like that, you know, but but you know what I'm saying.
Knocking you back down.
yeah. If they wrote a book about me, I wouldn't have the big belly or all this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
In order to sell it, they say, yeah, this guy here, he was slim like a greyhound, and you know, blah blah blah. You know, they'll make me look like some kind of Greek god or something just to sell a book. You know, they won't tell the truth. You know, or maybe I do look like a Greek god to them. You know. I don't know. You know, maybe that's why they're all now wheezy, you know.
There you go.
maybe I don't even have a big belly, but Waka Tonka gave me eyes to see myself so I don't get too arrogant, you know. Because those people, they, you know, you look at their Hollywood movies, Kardashians and all that. Man, them Kardashian women, man, they ain't even built right, but they always got them in a bathing suit. I mean, they got some kind of, they got ass for days. Nobody has ass like that, you know. Hate to be talking about sexual objects, but, you know, you see their everything they do, they live for beauty. But, you know, beauty is only a short time of your life. After it runs away, you better have a good heart to take you the rest of the way out. You know what I mean? You know, because if you don't have beauty, what are you going to live with? You know, when them Kardashians and all of them, J-Lo and all them lose that ass, that, well, then what? You know? You know?
Yeah.
When it's all
they
over, then what? You know what I mean? They're gonna say, damn, look at what happened to her ass, man. They ain't going to remember her for having a good heart or all this stuff, you know. That's a, well, she should live for the a short time of beauty, of what they interpret as beauty. And when that goes away, they're a nobody. They take them off the magazines. They pull them out of the movies. They do everything. They ain't good for nothing after that, you know. But us, we have to live with our heart, you know. Because you got to have, if you want to live a decent life, you better have a good heart for all your life or learn how or work on it, you know, because, you know, so I try to tell people that, and I hate to say it, but, you know, like even Indian girls are taking all these photos on Facebook, flashing mini skirts and all this stuff, and I feel bad for them, you know, because they don't know. That's only maybe 5 years of their life. After that 5 years runs out, then what, you know? You know what I mean? I feel bad for our people that live and look in the mirror and have this narcissism and all that. You know, I like to think my daughters are beautiful and all this, but I rather have them have a good heart so people could appreciate them instead of saying, oh, here comes that bee again, you know. And, you know, we have to teach our children to be socially acceptable. We can't, you know, they're beautiful to us, but we can't be pushing that off on everybody else. You know, look at my son. Ain't he handsome? You know, I'm not going to go telling people that, you know, but they do that and they get, you know, and you know, we can't be that way. We can't live like Washichu, you know, we can't do that because beauty is only a short time in your life. And after that, you better have a good heart. You can't run at the tail end of your life and grab a Bible and start praying to God and change your way for it. That ain't going to help you. Once you lost your beauty, it's gone, you know. But if you have beauty from the heart, that's going to stay with you forever. It's even going to leave a memory of you behind for years. Do people remember? Yeah, that's, you know, they ain't going to remember us for having muscles or all that stuff. They're going to remember what kind of man you were, what kind of a woman you were, what kind of a parent you were, you know. That's how you're going to be remembered. They ain't going to remember you because you had a... Yeah, or how big your ass is, you know. They ain't going to remember you how big your ass is or how big your breasts are or all that stuff, you know. Damn. But you look at it, social media is really doing it. You can go on Facebook right now. I just blocked a woman a little while ago because she took pictures with bikini on it, you know. I said, damn, how the, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that ain't for my page. Maybe I need to open up a side page for them people. You know. A secret one, you know, but on my page that represents me and our people, hell, I don't want people seeing that kind of stuff on there, you know. I get friends requests from porn stars and everything all the time. Oh, God, you know, people just come around, and I don't go out looking for friends on Facebook, you know, but One time this gay guy started, you know, sweet talking me, inboxing me, you know. So I said, who the hell is this guy? So I went and looked on his friends list, And on his, he didn't have no friends. He only had one friend, and that was one of my bros. I really blocked this guy. I told my friend, look at all this guy's friends list. Only me and you are on it. We got to be careful, you know. And plus, the other thing about Facebook is you can end up being stalked. You know, there's stalkers on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
You know, people start hating what you post and stuff. They've been known to go down and shoot people and come after people. I know women that Washichus traveled from different states all the way to the res to find them, thinking they had a play, you know. And you know, that's a dangerous place, Facebook, you know. And the more you get involved in it, you know, you could be in some shit. But people don't learn. You hear people getting mouthy on Facebook. Oh, don't nobody mess with me. You know, I'm tough. You come blah, 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 you know. And, you know, there's some wicked people out there. But you got then. Indians found out they can use Facebook to become a journalist, have a live feed, to be a celebrity, you know, because our people, and that's what I was mentioning to Philip earlier, you know, because it brings me into another issue, you know, because it's summertime coming up and we have all these outdoor festivals and gatherings and social events popping up, you know. But they're turning into murder, and you don't want to support this stuff. That's why I'm glad Philip didn't want to get involved in some event because, you know, look at last year down in Texas. All of a sudden, somebody shot up a bunch of people at a concert, even killed kids, you know?
Yep.
I mean, these concerts and events turn south in a quick tick, you know? And then they have them out in public places, public lands. The guys doing them don't have a pot to pee in, you know. And then you got all the people supporting them, people that are dying to be a rock star, people that – I remember we had concerts. Well, we had a concert. What happened, Larry? We went and had a ceremony and prayed about it and asked, is it all right to do this? Yeah, do it, but make sure this and this and this is taken care of. So we did. You know, of course it turned out a financial flop because we had backstabbers, Indians, Nawisi and all that. But still we had it. The point is, it was a sober concert. We had good things happening out there and everything. But we ain't going to be having people like Hell's Angels running around packing guns in there and all this stuff, you know, like those events. So as Indians, you know, being an Indian, a native, Lakota, whatever, we're pitiful, Ushika people, you know, we're, you know, in the eyes of the Washichu, in the eyes of the world, we're just nobodies. We're poor people. We're homely people, you know, got big bellies and all that. You know, we're looked on in a bad way by society. So Indians want to get away from that. So they want to present themselves out there to the world. So they jump in all these events. They jump in anything where they can shine. Or they'll make an event up and they'll you know, so they can be the boss and call the shots. And when they do that, half of them don't even know what the hell they're doing. I remember we were doing a concert. So some jealous Indian wanted to do a concert. So he had a concert, brought in some big act. And here when they showed up, they ended up having it at the Civic Center. They was showing up in limousines and everything, these Indians. And there nobody showed up. No one showed up to the concert. So they had to sneak out of the audience. They were the only one in the audience. And they left the rock band that they had show up. They even left them without a ride home. You know, they did all kinds. They snuck out and didn't have no shame in doing that, you know. And, you know, a lot of times we do this stuff, you know, like when we did it on the res, we made sure we hustled money before it happened so people could at least get home. People could, you know, we didn't leave nobody hanging like that, you know. But Indians just want to part. That's why they're joining Americans. That's why they got Indians in the Democrat Party, Indians Republicans. They just want to be part of something, you know. And they don't care what the hell it is, as long as they can show off and say, it's like one Indian shook Obama's hand one time. Man, he had that picture on Facebook for 10 years. He didn't wash his hands for 10 years, you know? I mean, yeah, Indians just want to be part of something. You know what, Tehanshi, we met celebrities, movie stars, rock stars, but we don't live our life bragging about it, you know. We don't live our life showing off about it. I mean, that happened, it's over, and move on, and you know, and there's people, you know, like a guy like right now, like remember Johnny Depp said he was going to help buy a Wounded Knee back, but he never did. You know, right now Johnny Depp's suing his wife, and that's on the big news. That's a whole trip there, you know. But they're rich celebrities, and they putting their smut out on Front Street right now. You know, how she cut his finger off, how she spit on this woman. They show how wicked this woman really is, that Amber Heard, you know. Yeah. And how, you know, I mean, I got so nosy, I started watching some of these videos. And, you know, they're putting everything out there, how she even shit on his night table.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they are. You know, he woke up and her poop was on his nightstand. You know what I mean? What kind of people are those, you know? But anyway,
they're just as bad as this, you know. Back to this this event is being held at the Wisteria campgrounds in Southern Ohio. And I talked to this guy last year because I saw it, you know, I saw a post, somebody sent it to me, and they're planning on having ceremony and sweat lodge. And so I'm looking at the guy's page, and I'm like, this is a white dude. This is a freaking hippie wannabe who's around the same age as me, 55, 56 years old. And so I called him out on it. I said, this is no place for anything like that. We're having it off to the side, and, you know, we want to invite you down, you know, because we want to get the word out about issues that pertain to indigenous people. And it sounded all well and good. He was really enthusiastic about it. But I got a bad feeling. And I'm like, nope, I'm not going to do it. So I didn't even respond to him. He said, well, you know, bring your kid. There's going to be kids here. There's going to be live music and all that. And we got people that are going to be talking about use of cannabis. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, but, you know, he said he left tickets there for me if I chose to come down, and I didn't go.
But you see the point, right?
Somebody, then an AIM member contacted me a couple of days ago and asked me if I wanted to be part of the AIM delegation. I'm like, what are you talking about, AIM delegation? Who's going to be there? You know, So I started calling around, and I found out, and I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently maybe that T-Pick is supposed to be down there. And then there's an elder, a native elder woman that's coming down from Canada. And I'm like, and they're talking about bringing ceremony there. And I'm like, you know, I was taught that the Chinupa is not supposed to be around drugs and alcohol. That's how I was taught. If this elder who claims to be a healer, if she's going down there, then she's violating protocol. It's, you know, and I can't be a part of that. I just can't. But, I won't be a part of it.
But, Philip, even put all that stuff aside, even by him asking you, even by him inviting you, why is he doing that? He's not doing it for any reason except trying to get a bigger crowd. He go over and tell the black people, we're going to have a Watusi dance out here. We're going to have this and that. Or, you know, he going to go to every culture and do something. They don't care. That's why the only way that he thinks to get Indians show up is having sweats and all that. But these people that promote these events, they'll do anything to get a crowd. They'll lie to anybody to get a crowd, you know? And like you said, telling you they're going to have sweats and they're going to put it off to the side, you know? And Indians that participate, you know, if an AIM group gets involved in that, you know, or usually they go after Leonard Peltier groups. If any groups go after that and that event goes south, all these groups, the Washita's going to run and blame it on AIM and the Indians.
Yep. Well, there's supposed to be walkers there for Peltier.
The Peltier walkers
are supposed to be there.
It's just what I guess, you know. They're going to do that. They want a crowd. They're going to invite anybody there they can, you know. And it's good you don't get involved in that. And that's the whole point of this. It's not what they do. It's not what they do. It's what their reasoning is for this whole thing. And it's just to get a crowd. And it's good for our people not to get involved in that. If you want to go as an individual and show up and go over there and you know, go to a concert and see the groups, that's one thing. Go do it. But don't go representing your people. Don't go
I guess they figured since there's a Native American band there, Superman is supposed to perform, that they would go ahead and invite the whole Native community. And, you know, I don't know who all's going. I got word that Greater Cincinnati Native American Coalition is supposed to be there. And those guys, they all cater to white people anyways. I mean, their sponsorship is, you know, the Smithsonian and some other organizations and corporations, I should say. And it's like, no, not going to be part of that.
And once again,
they're a bunch of hypocrites because you go down, you go on their Facebook page, and there they are with you know, having a demonstration against PNG about their clear cutting of the boreal rainforest to make Charmin toilet paper. Yet that same organization took money from PNG for a Native American garden. Okay, that's a bunch of hypocrites. And if people wonder why I don't work with them, this is the reason why. Yet you got the Grand Governing Council saying that I refuse to work with other groups. Well, I'm sorry, I have integrity, and I won't work with them.
You know, like I said, you know, one simple thing. It's good not to participate as a group, as a people. Go as an individual. But don't go. The American Indian Movement shouldn't take it, no position in that, and no other Native group should, because these events can go south real quick. You know, they can turn into rape, murder, like they say, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and murder. You know.
Well, and that's what it is. It's almost like a rave because, you know, I was told that last year there were people down there dropping ecstasy. Okay, well, you know, I'm definitely not going down there. And you know,
well,
go
you know
on their pyro page
do that.
And they're there celebrating 420 and you know, I'm sorry, I can't do it.
You just said they're gonna promote cannabis, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when you go doing all that stuff, you know, that ain't no place to take your children. Bottom line, you know, let alone, you know, if you, like I said, Indians would do anything to say, yeah, I was there. I did. I was part of that. I was running things, you know. But, you know, it's good if it's a good event, you know. But you know, I've been involved in a lot of these concerts, things that happened in the past. I seen so many stuff go south real quick, you know. You know, it's good not to be a part of it. And that's the whole point I seen in your, in what you did, what you pointed out, is not to become part of that, not your A group, not your people, not Native people, not Indigenous people, not no group representing the Indigenous nations. They should never take part in a thing like that. You know, especially another thing is on public lands. You know, there's a difference of doing stuff on public lands and doing things in private lands. When you do things in public lands.
Because it is a campground.
Well, who owns it? Who's doing it? You see, that's the point.
I have no idea.
To me, you see, you have no idea. So what I'm saying is that it's not some place, you know, like I did concerts on land where one of my people owned the land. I did concerts on land that people was owned, that I went up and asked them and talked to them, and we knew them, you know, stuff like that. Well, public lands is a campsite, like you're pointing out, you know, that's public lands. When you turn your land into the public, a campground, it's public land. I don't give a shit who owns it. You know? The point is public lands. And excuse me for saying that poop word. But I'm just saying public lands is no place to go do these events because they're not your land. And when you do that, you know, it's not good. You know, when you do stuff on private.
Funny, the one video was really funny because they're all, oh, dude, look at this and look at all this nature. And then the next video, they're showing that they got a couple of rock crawlers, they call them, vehicles that can climb over rocks and stuff. And they're running them through a creek, going over the boulders in a creek. And I'm like, well, vehicles leak oil. These guys are talking about, oh, look at all the beautiful nature here, and we need to respect Mother Earth. Well, how is that again, a bunch of hypocrites. How is that respecting Mother Earth? You're running a vehicle like that through a creek. Don't we have enough streams and rivers that are polluted? These idiot stoners are down there doing this stuff.
Well, you know, if you was going to get involved in it as AIM, you get involved in it to go protest them people, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, you know, you can't have all this stuff happening because, you know, like I said, when you do stuff on public lands and do stuff and make your lands public, you know, turning it into campsites, turning it into carnival sites, turning it into anything that becomes public, you know, it's no longer private. Private places, every place I've been where they did private events, they were more safe. They were more better security and less problem. And you can invite kids and stuff, you know. But when you go to public events, that big concert in Texas, they killed some kids down there. Not with guns. They smashed them.
Aww.
You know, they smashed them up. Big crowds just charging the stage for some hossapa, you know. And crushing people, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that these kind of things, you know, these events, they had one down there, Watts, you know, look at, they killed a rap star down there, you know. Snoop Dogg and all of them were there. I don't know their names, but you see, these events are nothing for our people to be supporting us and trying to make a name off them. We need to stay the hell off of there, you know. And even bands that want to turn into rock star one day, you show up at the wrong place, there goes your band's name down the drain, you know.
Yeah.
There's things that you have to think about in every piece of your life that you want to join in when you're out in the American society, you know. When you have Americans doing things, you don't want to get involved in it, you know. And even these some Indian tribes that are trying to have tribal reservations so they can have casinos, like the Shinnecock tribe, you know. When I showed up down there at the Shinnecock tribe to do a gig, and they had powwow and everything, and it was kind of was looking all right at first, but then these people were black people. Yeah, they claimed Shinnecock or whatever, but they weren't Indians. These are black people, and they talk to you. They sound like pimps and all that, and they're coming to our site, trying to sell drugs and get our, you know, get our band members high and drag them away and stuff. Now, you know, I'm, you know, my band is lucky that they had someone like me around, because I told them, you know, you guys could end up in beheading videos and all this stuff for the stuff that goes on in these events, you know. And I had to, like, one guy, I had to kick him off our bus, you know. He grabbed my band member by the wrist because he was trying to force my band member to buy some drugs. The band member just kind of went in, and he grabbed the band member by the wrist. So I stepped down the stairs, and I grabbed him by the throat. And I said, you let him go, you know. And I guess my fangs looked bigger than his because he let go and cussed out and left. But after that, we was paranoid. We just finally got the hell out of there. You know what I mean? These stuff ain't fun. That ain't a fun way to live. That ain't a fun way to go enjoy and perform and all that. So we got to be real careful what we do. And summer's coming up right now. And, you know, there's all kinds of freaks out there and headbangers and everybody trying to be a rock promoter and everything. But the biggest
point... And, you know,
here's
the thing, too. Does no one think, you know, you got Native women going there. Does no one think about missing and murdered indigenous women? Do they think they're not going to be a victim at one of these
of
places?
Of course. So we don't want to stretch out a big story long. The whole thing is bullshit for Native people. And that's to sum it up, you know?
You know, hey,
for
hey,
to answer.
The thing about, like he was saying, this they're going to have, like, sweat lodges and, you know, pipes. And that stuff does not belong in those places. The pipe and the sweat lodge should never, ever be put in a predicament like that. So why don't they go down there and protest that? See, that guy is messing.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he's doing. Those things belong separate. You don't take that stuff and do that. That's why, like, there's ceremonies for that, where they belong. And there's strict rules that apply to that. And that's why I say it's a way of life. And if you don't understand that way of life, don't even mess with it. You know, don't even go there. Because then the thing about it, what is he doing with that stuff? Who allowed him to do that, see? That doesn't belong there. Anybody that's a pipe carrier and that believes in this way should tell that he's a fool for doing that. Keep that out of there. That doesn't belong there.
But,
you know,
you see, Tanashi, and who do we blame for that? We have to blame them Tokas. Because them Tokas, they didn't live this way. They didn't live this way 40, 50 years ago. They were all living like Americans. Suddenly, American Indian Movement showed up, and our people, Lakotas, with drums and stuff, showed up, and then they all decided they want to, you know. Very few small tribes in the country still kept their indigenous cultures. Apaches and Hopis and, you know, Lakota and a lot of, I could name quite a few of them, but a lot of them didn't do this. They were living the American way, wearing cowboy hats, cowboy boots, big belt buckles and all that stuff, and running with the Washichu to the bars, doing country music and all that. That's why, you know, they were doing that. And when they started turning Indian, like, once again, they found out a way to be chief. I can get me five women by playing chief, growing my hair long and, you know, having sweat lodge at the rock concert and all this stuff, you know. And that's what happens. These Tokas, mostly Tokas from different tribes, some of them aren't even from a tribe. There might be five or six guys from different tribes joining together and playing spiritual leader and going to these rock concerts and stuff and doing this stuff, you know? And that's why whoever's over there doing that and did it and going to do it, I tell you what, they're not for real, because our spiritual leaders won't set foot in a place like that. That's like stepping into a bar, you know, going in there and hanging out, you know. That's why I don't go to Sturgis. I went to Sturgis a couple of times, and I tell you what, I got into some shit at Sturgis, you know. And this is about 3 miles from Bear Butte, these women running around, topless guys flashing their genitals and, you know, all this wicked stuff going on. I won't go to Sturgis for that. And our people need to protest that. But our people don't need to be sitting there with them, you know, like Josie and all of them over there going to Sturgis to represent missing endangered women. That was a bunch of baloney, you know. They have no business going to them places because them places don't care about murdering, raping, killing, and whatever. You know? So, you know, so I wouldn't dare show up at them kind of places. We don't need to be there, and we don't need to represent anything that goes there. And that's why my interest in what you were talking about, Philip, is just that. I don't care about those guys dirtying up the stream. I don't care about those rock climbing cars. I don't care about them hippies and all that stuff. What I'm saying is that whole event stinks. And when something stinks, it's good that you said, you pointed out how you felt about it. And you don't need to, and nobody needs to write a big book about it either. All you got to do is say, that place stinks and I'm not participating. You know, you can point out some things. And the main thing that you point out is the Indians that are jumping in on this are Indians that just want to make a name for themselves. You know, but they better hope the event turns out. But you never know. These events can go south in an instant, you know. And, you know, our people don't need to get involved in that kind of stuff.
You know, it's crazy that talking about murdered and missing indigenous women, a lot of these young Native girls go missing from Sturgis. So what are they doing there? You know, it doesn't make sense. Why are they doing that when they should be protesting, like you said, protesting it, you know? And then
that's a big slap in the face.
Yeah.
Our people was out there by Bear Butte. They were protesting the signs and everything out there on the highway. Our people, they were protesting that whole thing. And Washitas with Harleys were passing by with Indian girls riding on the back. And then with Indian biker groups following them, that's a slap in the face. You know, I have nothing against motorcycles. You know, you and I both rode motorcycles. We both hauled ass around the res and all that. And you know, just because it's like kind of being on a motor horse. You know, there's a thrill in that, you know, and I like it. But you know what? I'm not going to start trying to run around looking like the Washitu just because I got a bike. I'm not going to start, you know, doing all the things they do. And that's why these Indians are showing up. They got Indians riding bikes here on the res. They're riding with the American flags on the back, you know? And, you know, like, once again, it's our people trying to join in with the Americans. Our people trying to do something, to be somebody, because they ain't comfortable being Lakota. They ain't comfortable being proud of who they are. So they rather run over and dress like a white man and jump in that motorcycle, throw that flag in the back, and ride around with sunglasses and all this stuff trying to look like Hell's Angels. You know, hell with that. You know, we don't need to do that. You can be anything you want in this life. You can do anything you want, but you don't need to join in with people. You know, if you want to play rock music, that's good. Play rock music. You know, you can do anything you want, but you don't need, just because you're playing a rock and roll gig, you don't have to run up there with tiger skins and pink hair and all that. I see some Indian with a turquoise beard, you know? You know, I mean, they're just ruining it. You know, no matter what you do, you got out of a relative wanted to be a hip hop artist, you know? And I told him, you know, I don't like that hip hop. Why not? Because, man, look at you guys. You guys start bouncing around like ghetto guys, you know? You ain't Lakota no more. You quit being yourself. Do I? I said, yeah, look at you. Start grabbing your crotch and saying y'all and y'all this and nigga. You know, and just, you know, they just ruin it. I said, you can do all this stuff without all that changing your style, you know? Why, you're a good-looking Lakota, man. Why can't you use your talent or something to represent our people. If it's, if you think it's that rap, that poetry, good. We, you know, it's good. But why do you got to start acting like one of them? You know, I tell you what, I've been around, you know, jamming music all over. And I'm glad there's not one picture of me with tiger skins on or none of that stuff. I didn't start wearing bitch boots or none of that stuff. I hate, there I go. Say that, you know. And hell, my brother would probably kick my ass some more. Yeah. That's what I got a big brother for, you know, kicking my ass. And if I would have went over and did that, he would have kicked my ass some more. You know, because, you know, we got to face our own people. And our people want to be proud of us. They don't want to, man, look at this guy, you know. Now he's acting like a ghetto house up. Now he's acting like this and acting like that, you know. We lived around lots of different cultures. But to maintain your own culture is the beautiful thing, you know. We can live with any culture we want. But you know, keeping your own culture is the deal.
And the
best thing about that is your brother won't kick your ass no more. You know, but look at Layla. We did concerts together, Layla.
Yeah, man.
You know,
wonderful concert.
And we didn't go out there dressed up like a bunch of idiots, clowns and stuff. Just went out there being ourselves, played that music, and that was it, representing, you know.
And the music carries everything.
Yeah, you don't need to have pink hair to play music. You don't need to look like Alice Cooper to play. If you're good, you got a talent in your own. You know, just like Tahoshi, he can rebuild Harley Davidson's. But look at him in real life. He's still Lakota, 100%, you know. They can't, there's no talent on this earth that should change our style, you know. No talent, you know. Yeah, you know, it's like turning into a artist, a painter. So in order, next thing you start wearing a French hat, you know, or like these AIM guys, they join AIM. So right away, put 50 patches on, wear a French hat, you know, start running. They change their whole style. They're not Lakota no more. They're not. They joined this particular image that the American Indian movement developed into. When the American Indian movement started out, 1968, 69, and the 70s, there was none of that stuff. These Indians were looking like real Indians back in them days. And then slowly it started developing into, now they want to look tough. Now they want to wear sunglasses and bandanas and bully people. Now they want to wear 50 AIM patches. You see, because Indians want to be somebody. We're pitiful. We're uchika. So our people want to get away from that. So they'll do anything to shine, to look spectacular. Throw an American flag on my motorcycle and drive through and sunglasses. And now this COVID, throwing on those, trying to look like a bandit and all that. You know, Indians will do anything. When Al-Qaeda happened, there was Indians taking pictures like Al-Qaeda, wearing masks like Al-Qaeda, you know. Our people will do anything to be accepted, except be an Indian, be a Lakota, be a Native. And that's my whole point.
You know
that's my whole point. And you look at, I got pictures of me and my family, my brother, and all of us for years. And one style never changed, and that was our style. We're still the same people we was, when we left the res,
Catch shit, we're resed up.
Hey, when we go fishing, we don't wear camouflage and buy fishing clothes, We just go out there the same shit. How my brother be wearing some jeans and sandals in the lake.
Fall in every now and then.
Even working on a car, we'll have a fancy coat on, but still work on a car all greasy. We don't give a. Our people don't give a rat's butt about this stuff. Real natives, we don't let none of that. Well, we go, if we're gonna go golfing, we don't start dressing like Pat Boone. But I see an AIM leader doing that. He's on this radio show. Wearing a white golf cap, a white pinstripe shirt, tight white jeans, and white shoes, walking with a little hip hop,
Have the golf club with a cane.
I went and golfed, and I was wearing what I had on,
Yeah.
And I didn't have a particular swing. I just swang and hit that sucker.
Whatever direction it went when I hit it.
Yeah. It's just like when we play baseball. What do we wear when we're out in the baseball game? Same clothes.
I can look over here, shake away.
We'll go play baseball in the same clothes we're going to go to to do a gig tonight, the same clothes we woke up in. Yeah. The same clothes we woke up in when you're going to go to a gig,
Mechanic, knock the dust off and keep going,
One time I remember we were in Vienna, Austria, working on a car out in the street, We're supposed to be rock stars. But there's some Lakotas way in Vienna laying underneath the car, all greasy, slapping the starter in on the highway. right in the city, trying not to get our legs run over. Trying to get your legs not run over by the city bus, And, that's just how we are, no matter what.
Where's the dressing room? Shit, I thought that was going to
happen. Yeah.
We don't look for it.
Remember that time? That time we did a concert, we had a dressing room was a house, Our dressing room was a house with and we served Kamad lunch and meat, cheese, Kamad peanuts, peanut butter, crackers, and shit, those celebrities thought that was cool, Had a bowl of Kamad raisins,
Shit, that's it, man. That's really on top for us, man,
And remember, we had to pick up all the celebrities from the airports and stuff when the celebrities showed up. I remember Richie Haven showed up in a little Chevy, beat up red Chevy. And Richie Haven's this big tall guy. His knees were way up to the ceiling, sitting in the back seat, That was his limousine, a res car. No, it was a Ford. It was a Ford. So I was trying to think of the name of the common Ford. And, you know, how we had taken them. There was all kinds of res cars. When we commandeered Great White's tour bus, we gave them a ride back to Nebraska and some beat up res cars, you know, old Mercury busted windows. That's the kind of limos we went and picked them up in, you know. But you see, real traditional people ain't going to change. And that's what I appreciate about our people, you know. Our people, we need to maintain this humbleness we have, you know.
You know,
to me, having a car.
You could take the Indian off the res, but you can't take the res out of the Indian. You know, that's the way it is, you know.
We're following Russell Means back from winter, you know. He had a nice van. He used to drive. You probably seen it. He used to have a nice Chevy van that was maroon. It kind of little had a extension top on it. Well, we was following him, and on the top of his van, he had his spare tire. Just like a normal Indian, though. Ain't gonna put that sucker away if I need it in a hurry. So just throw it on the roof, you know.
Keep it on top.
And I said, you know, you can take Russell Means to the city and all that, and to Hollywood, but you can't take the res out of him.
Stuck on the res, man. That's the beauty of being in Lakota.
Yeah, that was a true AIM leader right there. You know, none of that trying to show off and showing up in a gotta be a nice pickup or you ain't gonna get in it. You know, or a nice fancy SUV or you ain't gonna get in it. You know.
Yeah.
But the point is, our people are losing it, and they want to have a name for themselves. So they're doing anything they can to show up. You know, just like, you know, one of our tribal treasurers had got busted for meth in Oglala a couple years ago, and it just barely became news. They covered it up all this time. They let him out. Then he didn't show up for court. They picked him up, took him to court. But you see, when a tribal leader gets busted, he shouldn't be given a free pass. They should shame him out.
Yep.
And for meth, what the hell is he doing at Prairie Winds Casino with meth? You know? He's lucky he don't go to prison. You know? And then to hide it from everybody for all this time. But Washichu News is the one who brought it out. Because he's a tribal treasurer for guess what tribe? I take pride in accepting that, you know. It just happened to be one of my tribe leaders, you know. But you see, what the hell is he doing? He's a tribal leader, mind you.
Yeah.
What are they doing when there's a big war, supposed to be a war against meth, and here's the treasurer, the guy who handles the tribal money, you know, buying meth, you know, probably paying it out of tribal funds is habit, you know.
You know, look at others in Pine Ridge, Tanshi Wuzik. A couple years back, they caught one of our councilmen dealing drugs. You know, dealing what you were saying, meth and, you know, whatever else, you know. But she got caught dealing, and she tried to blame somebody else. And she was even selling pills, and that's what she got busted for, was selling the pills. She was buying and selling. And that's, see, and that's the stuff that happens, you know, this. But, and these are people that are supposed to stand up and say, hey, this isn't right or that's not right, you know. But that's what they're getting busted for, the same stuff, you know. And
hey,
man,
I was just gonna say, you know, Jennifer, your line's been open too. You know, anytime somebody wants to jump in, you can. If you got anything to add, Jennifer, you know, appreciate it.
Yeah, you guys all have been making good points, and you know, we always have to make those decisions and how we're going to represent the people. And I'm very selective too, and how I have to be out there, because people look at me more on the spiritual side, but I have other sides of me that I enjoy a lot of things in life, but I don't go out there and act all crazy though, and stay sober and all of that. Yeah, I'm glad that 420 is over. I was cringing at a lot of comments that people made on the 420, how the medicine is medicinal.
What's the 420?
I know. That's the cannabis. Here in Colorado, they have you can smoke marijuana like freely. They sometimes section off the park downtown, and people just openly smoke marijuana. And some, I just stay the hell away from downtown, because that reeks for quite a few radius blocks, because it gets pretty saturated downtown. I don't know if they had it this year. I didn't go down there, but I just stay away. And I just, still the people that are celebrating 420, whatever that means to them. But I don't like it that it's legalized, and people condone me for, not condone, but they condemn me for speaking against cannabis. And you know, it's like, I'm a daughter of a medicine man, so I have a whole different perspective of how I was taught by my dad. And he was telling me that it's psychoactive drug, whether any studies support that or not, but he'd always tell us to stay away from it. And for myself, I've seen some stuff in my college days when I dabbled in that to see what it was about. I was really young and dumb, and I didn't know my culture at the time. But I was only 17 years old in college and thought I was pretty hotshot being that young and being able to do stupid stuff on my own. But I learned really quickly. I should say the spirits taught me really quickly before I even met my family. But there was a spirit that comes with that pot. I don't think people really understand that, especially when you're abusing it. It's very dark, and it's a very disfigured creature. That's the best I can describe it. And I've seen it quite a few times, not because I was under the influence at that time, but that was like a very short phase in my life after that incident. But I've seen it other times when I was like in Wyoming. My cousins were acting up, and I was watching TV in the dark in the living room, and they were in the bedroom getting high. And all of a sudden, this dark creature came through from outside, and it floated in through the walls, and it went straight into their bedroom. And it was pretty much like they were being ratted out what they were doing. And anyway, all kind of chaos broke loose, and they got into a fight, and she jumped out the window. And then they finally cooled down or whatever, And then they came back all embarrassed and apologized to me for that behavior. But I just said, you know, I saw that creature. It came into your room, so I knew you guys were doing something. And I've seen it other times like that. And so it does exist. And I wish more people could see it. Maybe it would keep them from doing those things, harm to their bodies. And even I know somebody that, a nephew that was at a city park and they were summoning a creature in the lake and it came after them. And my daughter was among them and she doesn't run, but she sure knew how to run home really fast in split second. But they saw that creature. And so there is things like that. And it's just hard to explain to our own people that they're abusing this way and they're not listening to medicine men because we don't use it in doctoring ceremonies. We don't, I never heard a spirit guide a medicine man to say, hey, go get some CBD oil or something like that. And they usually direct us to do something else in the healings, but I've never seen it in the ceremonies or used in a ceremonial way. And I it's bad enough that people think that we smoke the pot in our chinupas in the first place, you know. We have a bad reputation, you know, just being stoners and thinking that just because we're traditional, we automatically think that it's okay to have that herb in our system. Yeah. But those of us that are understanding, and it's nice to be around a group of people that understand and stay away from that stuff, because I see so many things on Facebook that it just disheartens me that there's so many things that we have to tell our own people to knock it off.
Yeah. You know, I like what you brought up about, you know, how now they legalize it in places so that they got an area where everybody could be stupid, you know, sit there and all slit eyes, red, sitting there looking stupid. But, hey, man, this is cool, man. Give me another shot of that cannabis, you know. And pass that Twinkie over here, that Twinkie, and give me that Pepsi, you know. That drug, I don't care what anybody says, you know, it's not good for anything. People take it for cancer. You know what it does to you? It takes your will to fight. How are you going to fight your sickness when you're all, hey, man, this is good. Where'd you get this pot from, man? You know, how's that going to help you fight when you're just so laid back you don't even give a shit? Well, excuse my language again.
That's a good point.
You know, I know for a fact, because I had relatives that were taking pot to, and they're no longer with us. You know, and I feel sad about it because I offered them Indian medicine, and they, to them, oh, this is Indian medicine. Well, what it does is it takes away your will to fight. What does pot do to people? You look around at people that smoke pot, you know, what kind of condition are they when they're high on it? Yeah, they say, oh, well, it's more safer than alcohol. It's not violent. They give you every excuse. But regardless of what the excuse is, what kind of person are you when you're high like that? You're helpless. You're lazy. You don't remember nothing, you know, and you're useless to society. And like, here's the other thing you said, Jennifer. I agree with it. There's a spirit that hangs around us, just like cancer is a bad spirit. All these bad things, there's something bad that goes with everything we have that's good. And the more we indulge. It's like an Indian when he starts, when he goes and gets a 12-pack at the store. I've seen a guy. When he first drinks that beer, it tastes good. Second drink, he starts feeling good. The next mm-hmm. thing you know, he's happy and wants to play with the kids and give his nickels and dimes away and quarters and change and, you know, be generous. Then pretty soon he starts changing. Then all the spirits leave him, the good spirits. And the next thing you know, he wants to go fight. Maybe go kill, and wants to find a woman or find a man, and the sexual desire develops, and that sexual desire has no brakes on it when they're drunk, because you don't have a good spirit inside of you. Your good spirits leave you, and that's a good point that people should know. You know, when you do all this stuff, we have spirits in us. Our children have all their spirits, good spirits. When we get older, we start, you know, we could start losing them with every little wicked thing or stuff we do, you know? And some of us might be running on only one lug nut right now, but we got to hang on to that, you know? You know? Because once you start losing these good spirits, you start feeling the pressure of having no spiritual protection. When you have no spiritual protection, you start noticing it. I tell you that much. You start noticing it. Then, you know, and you don't want to live that way. Because then that's why Indians, young people are committing suicide. That's why they have all this wickedness going on in their lives, you know? I mean, look at how rich Johnny Depp and them are, but you listen to his testimonies and stuff. I mean, it's all drugs and getting high and abusing each other, throwing vodka bottles at each other, all the violence, you know, screwing around in each other. You know, it don't matter how rich you are or who you are. But I tell you one thing, Indian, a Lakota, it doesn't take much to ruin us. Yeah. You know, some people can drink a bottle of wine and still eat spaghetti. But if a Lakota drinks some wine, he ain't eating spaghetti. He's going to start throwing up, sick to his stomach. We can't eat and drink all this stuff at the same time. You know, if I wanted to get drunk, I made sure I didn't eat all day so I could get drunk, you know, because if I ate and went out and got drunk, all I did was throw it up on everybody, you know, and myself, you know.
Taking our alcohol to the limit.
Yeah, and it don't take long for us to take alcohol to the limit. It only takes us 4 or 5 beers because we're not meant to touch that stuff. You know, I get drunk real quick, you know. It just takes a few beers, and I'm drunk. One time I drank some NyQuil at a truck stop. I was so sick. I wanted to, and I didn't know what NyQuil was at the time. So I drank this NyQuil. And next thing I turned on my radio louder. Next thing I was being nice, waving at other truckers that was passing by. Next thing, I went into the truck stop and the gift shop and started talking to everybody, you know, trying to, you know, making friends. And then I realized, man, I said, you know what? That stuff got me drunk. I went back to the truck. I went to sleep, you know. Yeah. But just that quick, that NyQuil had me turning the radio up, waving, looking happy, talking on the CB. Hey, bud, how you doing over there, you know? Same way with pot, you know. I never got high on pot. Pot did me totally different. They got me paranoid and hungry. that ain't high. You know, I was more interested in if the cops were looking at me than I was enjoying the high. You know, I don't like that stuff. That's why I quit all the spirits took it from me. I'm glad I had good spirits still in me that ran all the them wicked spirits away, because, you know, I don't like the smell of cigarettes. I don't like the smell of pot. I don't like the smell of chemicals. I changed. Back in the day, people would never believe that I would ever quit what I was doing. Man, I was slamming up. I was toking up, you know, drinking up. And then I was hell on wheels at the same time, you know. I was in a suicide vehicle heading down the road, running red lights, ready to run from the cops, back in the pistol. You know, but nobody would. Nowadays, there's people that know me and they can't imagine that I don't do this stuff. But my brother right there, he'll tell you what kind of person I was back in the day, you know.
Jug in one hand, pocket full of bullets, and a gun in the other.
If I had a brother, my other little brother said, I knew you weren't coming back.
I knew he wasn't coming back because he left with a bottle of wine, a pocket full of bullets, a 38. You know?
They knew he was dead.
Yeah. After that, they said they're never going a shortcut with me no more. You know?
You know, Indians are real predictable with alcohol. You know, I mean, I don't think alcohol and Indians mix. You know, think about pot now. You know, it kind of gets me how people were pushing for hemp in the beginning. Hemp. Oh, they're going to create all these buildings and stuff out of pot or a hemp. And now, shit, it's cannabis. You know, oh, we got to grow some cannabis. Yeah. You know,
you got to say it the right way. You got to say cannabis. Cannabis.
Cannabis.
Yeah. Cannabis. I'm having some cannabis. You know, they try to sweeten the sugar coat it, you know. And you're right. They promote hemp and they promote this cannabis. They promote it as a good thing, like you can build houses and all this. But they're only doing it to cover up their stink. They're only trying to cover up their stink, you know. They're trying to put perfume on their stink by promoting cannabis and that stink. I don't care what you say, it leads you to a thing that they call a stanky thing, you know.
Yeah.
When you get involved in all that stuff, you're going to end up in a stanky thing, you know. So I don't care. Yeah, we have bros and people that still smoke pot. I don't go tell them to quit. I don't tell them what to do. But I make sure I don't get in a car with them because I don't want to get pulled over with them. I make sure I don't go to their house. And after they get out of my car, I double search my car, you know.
Really? You know, you don't know what they left.
You know, you can't. You see what it does? It makes you not trust nobody. Trust them.
Yeah.
When you use this stuff, you lose the main thing in life. It's called trust.
Yeah.
When you're using pot, drinking, drugs, or all that stuff, you lose trust. Nobody trusts you. Yeah. When you give them a ride, you say right away, I wonder if he's got a joint on him. You know, and you're trying to ashamed to tell him, don't bring it in. You know?
Yeah.
You can't trust nobody. They don't see that. I told some guys, and they got mad at me and took off. I told them, when you use that stuff, nobody trusts you. Oh, you can trust me with your life, brother. The hell if I can. You know, the hell if I can. You know, you can't trust these people because, you know, they're walking with wickedness. Yeah, it's just a joint. Or call it a roach. All it is a roach. Like, you can't go to prison for this, but still some wicked stuff.
Yeah.
You know? You don't need that stuff. That's why we use chinchasha. Chinchasha and our chanupas are pure. And Jennifer brought up another thing, how the Washichu blames us for using wacky tobacco in our chanupas and stuff. Because that's the image we got. And it's our people's fault for giving that image. But when you come to Lakota, we use chinchasha. And chinchasha doesn't smell like tobacco and doesn't feel like tobacco. And it's pure and clean when you fire it up. And you can feel the purification, the blessing, you know. It's way different, but we do that. But other tribes, I've been to sundances and they pass out chanupa and then they got full of tobacco, you know. Don't impose your tobacco on me just to hide it in a chanupa, you know.
Yeah.
And why are these people letting these people show up at sundances with tobacco in their chanupa?
Yeah.
Remember when we sundance, what does Rick say?
No,
if you don't have
tobacco.
Chanupa, if you don't have chinchasha, we'll give it to you.
He
tells you nothing but chinchasha.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have none, raise your hand. We'll get it for you. You know,
but
other sundances, other places, they don't care. And some of them, like in Green Grass, one of them guys was trying to smoke pot out in the arbor, saying, well, Wakantanka.
Oh.
They were trying to have a vote on it, too.
Jesus.
You know? How could it even get to a level where you're going to have a vote on it?
Oh.
You know?
There's no vote on it. It doesn't belong.
Yep.
It don't belong.
So that's another thing, you know, Jennifer reminded us of how we're looked upon with what we put in our chanupa.
Yeah.
The other tribes and the other people, they ruin it for us. They ruin it for us. They ruin it for us because they're going to do a sweat lodge at a concert. They're going to do ceremonies at a concert. They're going to put this stuff in their chanupa. They're going to run around and promote Peji like it's good because Wakantanka gave it to us. You know, I mean, these other people are ruining it. These people that do that stuff are ruining it. And that's why some of them came on this radio show and they tried to promote cannabis and hemp. And I got rid of them.
Yep.
I put them on mute. I dumped them, you know. I said, you know what? We ain't doing that in this radio show because we're trying to promote a solid, good way of living, you know. We're not pushing spirituality on anybody out there, but we're trying to represent some decency that our people were given in the beginning of time. So where did this decency go to? Where did this decency go to? You know, we need to represent decency when we open our mouth. And that's why I like about doing this here radio show. That's what I like about why Jennifer brought this up, Layla and other people, how they represent decency in everything we do. It don't matter we all have a different thing going on in life. You know, we all like music. We all like, there's certain things we like in life that, you know, that other people like. But still, you know, whatever we do, we have to do it with decency, you know. And real quickly, I want to say hello because I see Jillian came back from in San Jose. You still in San Jose, Jillian?
Yeah, hi. How's it going?
What's going
on?
Right?
Can
you
hear me?
Yeah, you
heard
me.
Okay?
If I didn't hear you, you'd hear me re-asking you.
Okay, I just wanted to say something about the bad spirits that I'm worried about around here. Oh, people are going to get mad at me now. That once anything is legalized and commercialized, that there's a whole bunch of bad spirits just attached to that process anyway. And the way it's commercialized and around here, I don't know, it seems like, I don't even know how it's processed, how it's handled, if it's, I don't know what's going on with it, but I think it's even worse now.
You know, Jillian, the biggest thing when you legalize something like that, it's like legalizing cigarettes. Right away, people start smoking in their house. They start smoking in front of the children, and their children start picking up this stuff. So when you legalize pot, what do they start doing? They start smoking it in the house. They start whipping it out in front of everybody, in front of the children.
Yep.
Next thing, the children are doing it. You know, all it does is opening up the door to more wickedness.
Yep.
And I don't care what this country does. They can legalize anything they want. I don't give a damn, you know. But the point is, our people are immature. Americans are really an immature, undeveloped brain society.
Agreed.
They need breaks. They need breaks. And when you legalize something, they have no breaks. And, you know, and they don't have the brain development to put breaks on. You know, they're lacking brain development, the whole American society, and they pass it on to our people.
Yeah.
Our people that's like legalizing alcohol, so they whip out wine and drink right in front of the kids. You tell a kid, oh, you can't drink them because you ain't 21, but still, you got it in the house. When you legalize, when you're having guns, these kids are having access to these guns. A four-year-old kid shot his own sister a couple weeks ago in the car. You know, there's a lot of wicked stuff going on in this world, you know, And you know, that's because the American has no brain development.
The gun was sitting there.
You know, they're the stupidest people on earth. You know, you see, like, they're
trying to charge the parents.
All countries to, I gotta, excuse me here for a second, but they're provoking a small country to parlay a war. The longer they have the war, the more people die, the more destruction, the more, you know, when the war wasn't meant to be that way. The war was meant to just to change the government. But these Americans, they don't have no brain development. And the British, so what do? They provoke this war to last longer and cause more people to die, more destruction, more this and that. And they give these people, these little people trying to try making them think they're brave for committing suicide. You know, you can get mad at Russia or whatever you want. You can say, yeah, they're invading, but they had their reasons, because America was using these little countries to get closer to them with their nukes, you know? So they have their mm-hmm. reason. But the whole general reason was to go change the government. But the Americans and all them make these small idiots, this begging country, think they're going to help them. So it's like the cop beating you with a beating them and telling them stop resisting, and they keep beating them some more. You know, you mm-hmm. ain't a good leader if when your people are dying in thousands or hundreds, then you better change your style. You better say, hey, wait a minute, this ain't working. My people are dying. What do you do? Even our people finally said, you know what? That's why our people went and made treaties, because, you know, it doesn't, you can only be stupid for so long. We need to stop this. We'll just play along and act peaceful, and, you know, and that's what our people did. Everybody in this world has a choice. If you have a group of people, 10 people come beating you and two of your buddies up, you know, finally you say, okay, you know, what do you want? You know, we'll play along with this, and then when we get stronger, we'll come and stab you in the back later. But right now, they're killing our people, so we got to cut this off. And the Americans are keep provoking it, keep instigating. They just send more ammunition, more stuff over there. And these people are using them. So they're just pissing off. They're pissing off the big guy. So now he just go ahead and shooting rockets at him. He wasn't using rockets from the get-go. He was using manpower. But now, since they're doing that, he's going to shoot rockets and might end up nuking somebody. It could turn into a nuke war. And who knows? You know, all these countries that are provoking this, they might get nuked. You know, that's going to turn into some heavy stuff. But the American is lacking brain development. And it shows every day when they waste their time promoting cannabis and promote guns and promote violence. And they say they don't like violence. Well, how come these cops running around in SWAT gear all the time? You know, why are they doing that? I mean, how do you stop violence when you're dressed like G.I. Joe? If you want to look peaceful, look peaceful. You know, how are you going to look if you want to look peaceful, look peaceful. Don't show up looking with armored trucks and all that. You know, that's provoking. But that's how the Washitu is, the white man, the American.
And their actions, you know, if actions speak louder than words, they're just killers.
That's what it is. They're killers.
Yep.
And that's why we're talking about earlier what Philip was talking about. They want to have an outdoor event over there in Ohio. Well, these outdoor events turn south real quick nowadays, because who shows up to the event? A bunch of gangbangers, guns, drugs, everything. There's not no fun in this stuff no more. There's no fun any place. Look what they did in Sacramento a couple of weeks ago. Look what they did. They just had a gunfight right out in the street.
You know,
those people, why they're talking about a guy. They're talking about a guy. Oh, he was a good father. He had kids. He loved it. Well, if he was a good father, what the hell was he doing 2 o'clock in the morning in a club? He loved his kids so much, he should have been home with his kids. He should be with his kids, his family. That's where you need to be. Not in some bar. How do you love your kids when you're going to a bar? How do you love your kids when you're a cop and out there killing people? Oh, he was a good cop. He had a family, and now he's dead. Well, what the hell is he an idiot cop for? You know, there's consequences. If you want to live a peaceful life, then don't walk in those shoes.
Yep.
You know, bottom line, you know. And we, you know, of course, we've all had a little, Jennifer said.
Walk him up in the bar.
Like Jennifer said, oh, let me hear. Like Jennifer said, we all dabbled in our day, you know. And we all dabbled in this and that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I like that word.
Not me.
But this experience gave us the choice, right? Now we have the choice. Do we still want to dabble in this or that?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we want to move on? Or do we want to develop some? Or do we want to develop some brain, some, you know, develop our brains, you know? So that's where we're at. We need to get our people using their brains and developing something and quit coming around with that BS story about cannabis and all that. It's all wicked. I don't care. I don't care if you make a roll of toilet paper out of it or what. You're still trying to cover up your stink by using that. But it's time to go. And Layla, you got any last comments?
Yeah.
I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters.
Yeah. What happened to him?
I just hope you're all blessed this coming week.
And Jennifer, any last comments?
Yeah, great show, everybody. And thank you for sharing your wisdom.
I'm glad you came on because you reminded us of plenty stuff, you know. That's what we need to, you know. You know,
yeah.
Even that word dabbled, you know. You know, you
yeah.
know, it all fits in exactly with the description of our downfall, you know. Philip, any last comments?
Yeah, just it was a really great show. It was good to hear everybody chiming in on all the topics discussed. And while the show was going on, I was checking out this page and looking at the things going on there and the preparation for ceremony down there by this Beatrice Menzique Jackson, who's the woman elder that's going down there. It's unreal. Unreal.
That's the other thing. If you're a spiritual leader, a spiritual healer, you got no business going someplace else. We need medicine men, medicine women, healers right here on our own land. We can't find nobody because they're all playing Hollywood, you know?
Yeah.
That's when I see somebody saying they're a spiritual healer or medicine man and they're over there doing that stuff, I say, damn, man, that guy is full of baloney. Anyway, looks like we got to go. Philip, Bimber and Larry, you guys got any last comments? I know you've been commenting all night, you know?
Yeah. I get into that dabbling.
We've been dabbling all night, me and Larry.
Yeah. Oh, man. Don't tell me what you was doing, you know.
It's a good show. It's a very good show. It's one of
them. Yeah, I'm happy. It's like I said, my brother and Rimber, they bring the truth to this radio show because we tell the truth here and we got each other. Like I said, I don't want my brother to kick my ass no more, you know.
No more.
Yeah. I don't feel like dabbling in another ass kicking no more, you know. So I got him here, you know, and And we can share the truth as a fact, what we talk about. Remember, we know each other. We dance, some dance. We carry chanupa, you know, and you know, we're telling the truth. This ain't no gossip, you know. So with that, go ahead, Tahashi.
All right. Say a prayer, huh?
Yeah.
We'll check you. I'm going to say a prayer and we'll finish it.
All right, with that, we're going to have to take off and come back next Saturday.
Train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. And through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, oh, oh. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Though they never let me know you, still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles. free.